As you're finding your seat, if you will turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, and then jumping ahead to verse 6. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Would you pray with me? Father God, already our hearts have stirred within us this morning at the joys of baptism, at the comfort and peace that comes with snow falling from the sky, at the rejuvenation of your sun then shining through the opportunity to sing out our hearts in praise to you. And Father God, we believe that you're just getting started. And so now as we turn to your word, would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? So you might help us be who it is you want us to be. So you might help us do what it is that you want us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend the next few weeks hanging out in the story of David. David is an interesting guy. He's a shepherd. He's a musician. He's a warrior. He's a king. His story comprises a pretty big chunk of the Old Testament in some shape or form. And it's an especially good story for this season of Lent because it has all of the parts of life somewhere in it. The story of David, we find victory and we find defeat. We find calling and we find silence. We find glory and we find sin. We find repentance and we find grace. There's something about this ancient man David in all of us. And so we begin his story together. A little background information that leads us up to these pages in 1 Samuel. When Israel was a young nation, it was governed by people called judges. These judges were charismatic figures that God would rise up whenever there was some kind of special need for leadership. The last of the judges was this guy named Samuel, and Samuel is getting old, and his sons are all pretty much worthless. The people come to Samuel, and they tell him that they feel like they've outgrown being governed by judges. They say to him, "Samuel, we want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king." And so Samuel goes out and looks for a king. At first, the best candidate for the job appears to be this guy named Saul. Saul came from a good family. He was popular, best-looking man in the country. He was literally head over shoulders above any other candidate on the horizon. But as time went by, it became clear that as a leader, Saul was an absolute disaster. He was an egomaniac, always paranoid of losing his power. He resorted to the council of witches. Worst of all, he just really had no character. Saul looked really great on paper, looked really great on the outside, but there was something that had gone terribly wrong on the inside. And under Saul's leadership, the people of Israel drifted into this long path farther and farther away from God. And so it's not surprising then that God eventually rejects Saul, and he decides that this time he's going to select his own king for the people. And that brings us to these verses in 1 Samuel 16. God sends Samuel to Bethlehem, to the home of this guy named Jesse, to invite this father and his sons to the anointing of the next king. When they show up, Samuel begins the rundown of the sons, starting naturally with Eliab, the oldest, most likely the strongest, the most experienced, probably had natural leadership qualities. First children in the room would agree with all of these things. And the Lord looked at Samuel and he said, "Nope, not him. Don't look on the outward appearance. Don't look on the height of his stature." The Lord said, "I don't see as mortals see. Mortals look on the outward appearance, but I, the Lord, look on the heart." Jesse calls up the next son, Abinadab. He comes before Samuel confident. For once, the second born's going to have his day. Nope. That's not the one God said. Jesse calls Shema. Nope. This happens four more times until seven sons had passed by. Nope. 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 Is that it? Asked Samuel. Things are getting a little bit awkward if you put yourself in the scene. Maybe Samuel would have done good to look at Jesse's lineup before he told the dad he was on direct business from God that had something good to do with his household. Well, there is one more son. He's the youngest. He's out keeping the sheep. You know, someone had to stay back as the family attends to important business. Why not David? It's not really much to him. "Bring him in," Samuel says. "In fact, we won't even sit down until he gets into this place." And so in David comes, still in his work clothes, meeting this holy leader, Samuel, smelling of livestock, I'm sure. And on the spot, the Lord tells Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. That's the one." And the rest is history, literally. And so what does David's calling story have at all to do with our own calling stories? An ancient king, not like us. What's the point? Where do they connect? That's the question here this morning. First and foremost, we have an affirmation that we do indeed serve a God who does indeed call. And thus we have a challenge to be a people who hear that call. When you read David's story, is there not something in your own heart, maybe you have to dig deep, deep down, but is there not something in your own heart that comes alive with some kind of longing, with some kind of a deep desire to be the one who's called out from the field and told by God, "I've got something special for you"? Deep in your heart, don't you kind of, sort of, at least at one point in your life, know that it's true? Don't you just kind of know that the God who created you didn't just create something kind of mediocre and something that was just decent enough? Don't you know that you serve a God who, when he creates masterpieces? And so when he created you, he created nothing less than some kind of force to be reckoned with. Someone on this earth to be a life agent in this world. Don't you believe it when you're really honest with yourself? Don't you believe it that if you just have ears to hear, God is also calling you to something significant? That's the spirit inside you. That's the holy God living in you. My friends, when you feel that, when you wonder, when there's the nudge, don't ignore it. That's the Spirit. This morning, might you hear the call of your God once again, or perhaps even for the first time? Great. So how? David's story helps us here too. How do we really ready ourselves to be a people ready to get a call from the living God? Our society tells us what kind of people get called up to do important things. The wealthy, they get called because they've been given opportunities and networks in their life from day one. The educated, their resumes end up on top. Who gets ahead in this world? The beautiful. Just watch your TV one night, you'll see it quickly. The successful, the strong, those people whose families don't get in the way of what they want to do. You know, the likes of Saul. He came from good stock. He was popular. He could run a really good campaign. Saul was attractive. Saul was strong. Israel's leading man. But then at the end of the day, Saul wasn't the one that God called to lead Israel into their golden age. Saul had all good things going for him, and yet for some reason, he wasn't the one ready to receive God's call. David, a shepherd, the modern day equivalent of, I don't know, maybe like a street sweeper. Not a job that mom and dad include in their annual Christmas letter that goes out to all the people to tell how great all their kids are doing. David's job is really nothing in that society. In his place in the family, at least the youngest of eight, unless there was girls, then even younger than that. That's not really working for him either. David's young. He has no education of note, no experience doing anything impressive at all. When he tries on Saul's armor a little while later, it literally eats him alive. Well, not literally, figuratively. He's kind of puny. He's just kind of lost in the crowd. David is kind of really, if we're honest, under-impressive. Saul's life had started just right, but it ended as a failure. And for David, everything started kind of wrong. But he ended as the greatest king Israel has ever known. What was the difference? Why did one catch the call and one, it seems, missed it? It turns out it had nothing to do with how they started, and it had nothing to do with what they had going for them when God showed up on the scene. 1 Samuel 16 says instead that call had everything to do with one thing, and that was the heart. Some of us look at our lives today, and we can't help but lament that they haven't exactly gone as we hoped they would. We thought there'd be more to it. Maybe that there would be less mess and pain and more beauty. That there would be less defeat and more victory. We assume that things are just too far gone for God to really do much with us that would really be all that impressive anymore. Heck, we're just happy to make it through the day. We didn't go as far in school as we'd planned. Our bank accounts aren't as stacked as we thought they would be. Our family's more broken than whole. Our opportunities had been limited. And yet we look around and we see people all around us getting the call. We see young people talking about being missionaries in foreign lands, and we think, well, isn't that great for them? We see people at work climbing up the ladder while we're just happy our job is still going to be there tomorrow. Other people's kids are going off and they're doing big things while your own kids seem to be a little bit lost in this world. And sometimes maybe you can't help but wonder, did I miss the call? Did I miss my chance to stand apart and be the one who's seen by God, trusted with the special work in his kingdom that he wanted to share just with me? Did God's call somehow pass me by? when I was just making it through my life. This world who assumes that the Sauls are the ones who get picked, they would probably say, yeah, you missed it. But our God who finds David in the fields, the least likely of his family, with absolutely zero credentials for a king, no education, no power, no honor, no experience, our God who looks at that boy and says, Samuel, pull out your anointing oil because this is the one. He is the one who's called, not because of what he's done, but because I see his heart, and his heart is what I'm looking for. This is the chosen king. Samuel, anoint him right here on the spot for all to see. That God would say that there's a call for you even still, that you haven't missed it yet. And that's good news, you guys. We look depressed. This is good news. Good news. Wake up. This is good stuff. This is our calling in life. Wake up. So, if we've got a call, how do we prepare ourselves to hear God's call? Just this. Take out your pen and your paper. This is it. This is the secret to life. Give your heart to God. That's all he's looking for. Your heart. What kind of heart, we ask? Well, that's a good question. Perhaps a heart that is present. David is called to come in from the fields, and rather than say, no way Samuel would want anything to do with me, what a waste of time to even try to put myself out there. I'll just keep doing what I've always done before. Instead of saying that, David came. He showed up to receive whatever God might have to say, present to his father because his father God had his heart. When I was in college, my pastor at the time told a story about being a little boy. As a little boy, he'd work with his grandpa in his grandfather's big tool shed. And he said his grandpa had hundreds of tools. He said amazing tools, shiny tools, new tools. And he'd watch his grandpa work, and he said over and over and over again, grandpa would use the same old hammer for everything. And he said one day, he asked him, he said, Grandpa, you've got a shed full of tools. Why do you use that same old hammer all the time? His grandpa looked at him and he said, Son, it's the handy tool that gets used. When God sees a need among us and he's ready to stir up some hearts to hear his call, are you handy? Are you listening to his voice each day? Are you giving him some space to call you from the fields and say, guess what? I've got something special to do today. Listen. Stay close to your God. In so doing, he will know you're present. In so doing, he will know he's got your heart. And that's all he wants, you guys, is your heart. What kind of heart is ready for a call? One that's present. And one that's brave, courageous enough to long for adventure, a heart that's aching to be a part of something bigger than itself, a heart that's, you know, just happy enough to eat and sleep and work the sheep and do it all again the next day, counting down the hours till Friday, a heart that's quit seeing the needs of the world, a heart that's quit breaking over those needs, a heart that no longer dreams of being part of the solution. Honestly, that kind of heart, it might miss the call because the needs are real and they're here and they're now. People need Jesus and people need fresh water and people need freedom from sex trafficking and people need justice for the immigrants. And children need protection in our schools. Amen. And they need it here, and they need it now. And if our God has to spend 5 years convincing us there's a need, and then 5 years begging us to give a care about it, Countless lives could have been touched and saved 10 years earlier by a heart that was already willing to see the mess and dream the dreams and be a part of it. Even if it's overwhelming, even if it's dangerous, even if being a part of it might land you in jail or empty your bank account, God calls hearts that are ready to quit wasting time and money and savings on nothing and are ready to jump into something, something big, and something that matters. I asked little Maggie Bartoszowski, sixth grade, on Wednesday night, what's your favorite story in the Bible? And she said, my favorite story is the very beginning, the creation story. She said, because in my heart, I am just glad to know that God creates everyone with a big purpose in this world. She knows it. And I bet you when you were in sixth grade, you knew it too. We got to know it again, you guys. God is looking for hearts that are courageous, ready to see the need and be a part of the change. David, a shepherd boy as a king? Yeah, right. That would never work. Unless David's heart was willing to dream big for God. And unless God was the one putting himself into the calling. I ask you this morning, when's the last time your heart longed to be a part of something bigger than yourself? When's the last time you stayed up until the wee hours of the morning because there was a real need in our world and you couldn't sleep that night because you knew those people on your heart weren't getting a wink of sleep either? We've got a call. Let's stop closing our eyes and our ears and moving through life at 90 miles an hour and so that our God can't even tell us his dreams if he wants to. He can't catch up with us sometimes. It's scary for sure, but that's no reason to stay in the fields. That's reason to show up and see what God has to say. Because you see, the scary stuff, that's where our living God really gets to shine. What kind of heart does God look for when he's ready to call? A present heart, a heart that's ready for action. And a teachable heart. David's really just a young teenager here. He doesn't presume to have the world figure out. He's not jaded by people yet, doesn't say he has trust issues, doesn't have any reason yet to walk around with a cynical eye. He doesn't think he has God figured out, nor does he swagger around like he's the master of anything. Don't worry, that'll come later, but it hasn't come yet. In this scene, he's just this teachable, humble kid. It'll come later. When God says, you're going to be king, David seems to say to him, okay, cool. I assume you're going to teach me something about that, God. And slowly but surely, God will. David will learn to play music, and he'll learn to use a slingshot. He'll eventually learn that God has his back in some really hard places. David's going to learn pretty soon that people can be total jerks, but that there's a story behind each one. He's going to learn that his own sin has deadly consequences. His whole life long, David will keep on learning. And it's this humble, teachable heart that God knew he had something there that he could work with. Someone that he could shape day by day for his own glory, for his own story to move forth. Our next step cards that you've got in your pews, these ones right here. You'll notice on the back of those cards, there's a new question there, and the question's a question. I put it there on purpose. It says, a question I have for the pastor this week is this, and fill in the blank. I put that there. Because in my heart, I have this longing for us to be a people who together are never afraid to admit that we don't have God figured out yet. I want us to pursue him together week after week, to just keep on turning rocks over together, and so we can know him more and more. I want to know what you're asking God about these days. Because if you're asking him questions, It shows that you're teachable. You see, God wasn't looking for the guy with all the answers and all the perfect references for which chapter and which verse said what. God was looking for the boy that he knew that he could guide each step of the way. What's God been teaching you lately? If you haven't learned anything new about God in the last week, the last month, God forbid the last year, you guys, get back into it. A humble heart, eager to learn. That's a heart that's ready to be called. What kind of heart does God look for when he's ready to call? Finally, most important of all, simply, a heart that loves him. I don't have to tell you whether or not you love God, because deep down, you know. You know who you love. Better than any one of us knows, you know. David's life with God from this day onward would be anything but tame and pure and defined by perfect obedience. David would go on and he would have incredible victories that brought great honor to his God, and he would have terrible failures that grieved God's heart to the core. But at the end of the day, this was always said of David. Do you know what it is? Anybody? He was a man after God's own heart. God saw hints of that heart in that shepherd boy. Hints of that heart that would love him until the day he died. Hints of that heart that wanted to know and please his father. Hints of that heart that would always come most alive when it got to praise him. When God looks at your heart, does he see someone who just loves him? Someone who can't get enough of him? Someone whose greatest aim in life is to please him, whose greatest desire is to know him, who only wants to be with him? When he looks at our lives, does he see a man or a woman who the father turns to the son and points at you and says, now that one, that's a son, that's a daughter after my own heart. That one really loves me. Oh, he, she really loves me. The call is heard by those who love their God. And when it comes down to it, nothing else really matters. And having heard the call, real simply, how do we receive it? Your heart is ready, so what do you do when it comes? Get out your pen and paper again. This is important. What do you do when it comes? You say yes. That's it. You guys are so dead today. Next week will be better. I already believe it. In all of Scripture, when God calls, the people just say yes. They just say it. God never sits there. No, yeah, good, okay. That was kind of random, but I'll take it. God never just sits down and gives them a lot more information. Some of us are waiting for more information. He doesn't do that. Just say yes. And he never says, well, now that you've heard this call from me, how about you don't tell anyone about it and go home and just pray about it for a while, like maybe 6 months, and let me know when you've kind of made sense of it all. No, find me a place in the Bible where God does that. When God calls, the people who receive the call are just supposed to say yes. David is anointed on the spot, and the ride of a lifetime begins right then and right there. It's not rocket science. Is God calling? Just say yes. And maybe your heart is genuinely ready, but you just haven't heard it yet. You know all the things about loving God, loving others, that's awesome, but you're wondering, is there something specific for me to do? And you just haven't heard it yet. That's okay too. 7 times Jesse presented what he had to God. And 7 times God said, no, not that. And Jesse tried again and again until finally he heard God's yes. Haven't heard it yet? Just keep offering what you have to God. Just keep putting yourself out there and try some good work for his kingdom until you know that you know that you know that this is it. that this is what he has for you. You see, Jesse may have brought David in last because he thought that was the least likely gift he had to offer to God. And I'm willing to bet you've got some parts of your story that you assume God can't do much with. Maybe God's special call for you has everything to do with those parts. Have you offered that part of your story to him yet? Could be the messiest part. Could be the part that you most wish would just go away already. Maybe that's where God's yes is waiting to find you. Or maybe Jesse held David back because that boy had a very special place in his heart. He was the baby. And he didn't exactly want God's yes to compromise this one that he loved. Maybe God's yes, maybe God's call in your life requires something you love. Maybe it's going to require a financial sacrifice. Maybe it's going to mess up those perfect plans for retirement you've got. Maybe it's going to ask you to spend less of your free time on yourself and more investing in others. Maybe the yes is that thing you've been most reluctant to let go. Hearts are willing. How then do we receive the call? Each time we hear no, don't get discouraged and just stop. Offer up the next thing to God and see if he's in that. And when he says yes, that's it. That's my dream for you. Just say yes. Be anointed on the spot and get to work. Just say yes. You whose hearts love your Lord, you've got a call. Receive it. And I dare you, just say yes. What do you have to lose? Just say yes. Would you pray with me? Father God, not a one of us in here are King David. And yet all of us in here, your children, created by your hands, with your breath, your spirit alive in us, to do incredible work with you on this earth. Thank you that you see us. Thank you that you call us. Forgive us for when we miss it. And Father, give us another shot today. Our hearts are yours. We do love you. And you say that's what you want most of all. And so see our love for you, God. And into that, speak your mission. Call us into your service. Our world needs your light here and now. So would you rise us up to serve you here and now? This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.